Blog Talk Radio.
You already know what time it is.
Dramatic.
I like that.
I just got to tell the truth. I just got to tell the truth. I just got to tell the truth, man. Hey, look at a little Hey Roof. Smooth come through. Raw in the flesh. The hoodie tattoo. Black man, you're the sun. Shine on the galaxy. Mama be the earth. Birth new reality. It's all in you. Deep in the womb. Sold in the seed. Bring it full bloom. You the light in the dark. Spark the creation. Cause ye out of God. Raise the vibration. Divine elevation. Rise to occasion. Setting the example. Building the foundation. The nation. The king. Twin different deities. Supreme. The divinity. The all. My identity. The God in me.
On earth.
It's not a mystery, God. Check your history, God. Like graffiti, it was written on the pyramid walls. Hieroglyphically carved. For the Greeks and the Romans, it was meant to be God. But then it went from woolly hair, feet the color of bronze, to this Caucasian version, blue-eyed and blonde. Don't know what side you want. They say it's God versus the devil, but I say the mind control. The hell in your heaven, supreme mathematics. I be the number 7. Salvation ain't in the sky, it ain't in the reverend. It's ingrained in your essence, written in your DNA records. It's your ancestors.
Getting me where I need to be. Not talking about deities, but something we can see. Like my swag when I'm on top of my beers. And when I talk with my kids. And when I walk with the spirit of the ancestors. I know that I'm blessed cause I come from the best. It's my honor and my armor so nobody can test. And I learn from my mistakes so I had to regret. Yeah, you looking at the G-O-D right here in the flesh.
As we come to the circle and we say Ashe. And we pour libation giving thanks and praise. The original way ain't nothing man-made. Ghetto gospel with a little tea. Pain.
Take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave.
A generation raised on fast food, soaking poisons from the glass tube. Biochip ingredients that pass through your ventricle. Coagulate into antenna. Receive the frequency from the valley of Gehenna. The spell sent intangibly, they hell bent to handle me. Abandon the identity, impose that nativity. Machiavellian strategies evade social captivity. Disappear from the grid, survive the thrall visibly. Passport locked on the radar, so you can't stray far before the satellite locates ya. Can't deviate, the system rehabilitates ya. Can't self-navigate, they polluted your human nature. Rejuvenate your thunder, arise from your slumber. Fraudulence surrounds us, haven't you ever wondered why evil evolves rich and righteous remains poor? You need a reminder, they're kicking in your door.
Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page.
Yeah.
Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave.
Yeah.
The whole world is a stage, greatest story ever told, left the world in a blaze. Pray to your soul a deity, transcend space-time repeatedly. Fool's mass media deceiving me, teach the scenery. Post-Cold War era, post-9-11 terror, Bush era, took cheddar, burnt bodies. Waterboard torture for a hobby, Illuminati, skull and bone scroll policy. Fabric of lies from sheep's wool turned gold, sheared from the naked truth, wicked heart turned cold. Lost soul in modern Babylon, ground hollow, be thy name, kingdom come. I'm in one with the shadow, a death in the valley. As dry bones get carried, performing last rites on mics for sun gladly. Zeitgeist, spirit of the age, moving past me. Couldn't see it till it outlasted. Yo. Just ask me. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look, get the page. Past tense mind, see the future in the grave.
I can't believe in lies. I see the truth in the demon's eyes. For centuries, they deprived all believers' minds. To leave them blind, use faith to manipulate. Shift to hate so lives can disintegrate. Keep your focus on the visions brought by Peter Joseph. The bloodline so thick it clots like hemoglobin. Keep you open to the facts, wolf in sheep's clothing. This got the real agenda, you need to keep scoping. Twin tower, kamikaze, power, time of power. Minds devoured by the gunpowder, dark stun shower. Known to rain on the weak mental. Political entities strain on the peace, hateful. Thoughts and actions, pawns, assassins, armed with Gatlins. Muslims, Turks, and Anglo-Saxons. Americans with the full metal jackets. Rage war on a line out of faction.
Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave.
Beware of the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age that had your mind lost in the maze of confusion. The mental has your subconscious trapped in the matrix of power. Man-made plays, created AIDS, ignorance, socialism, racism, religion, fascism, capitalism, blind your vision of overstanding while the illusion of democracy covers up modern-day communism, false flag terrorism, fable enemies orchestrated by satanic worshippers that prey upon pagan images. An esoteric agenda was created by Masonic members. Covert operations designed by the corporatocracy. The spread economic globalization, the formalization of the World Bank and IMF, economic hitmen, trained assassins, the Bilderberger and Rothschild, J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, banking cartels, bankrupt the Federal Reserve systems, caused by the fractional reserve system. Job recession creates the Great Depression. The stock market crash like a nuclear blast. The American people feel the aftermath from the collapse of the economy. The zeitgeist, the heist of the 21st century.
Yo. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave. Take a look through the window of the days. Zeitgeist, past, present, spirit of the age. Transcend time, take a look at the page. Past tense mind, see the futures in the grave.
All right, we're back once again with Dr. Aleem El-Bey. And tonight's show, we're going to go into current events, as well as also the debates and the elections. Let's get into the songs that we just finished hearing. The first song was by Dad Prez, The God in Me. Of course, you know, that was a rendition of Mary's Mary, The God in Me. And they did their thing going in No Doubt. All right, big ups to Dad Prez, as well as also the last song, or this song that we just finished listening to, was The Lost Children of Babylon, The Zeitgeist. All right. And everyone probably have seen that movie. If not, you know, you really ain't up on your consciousness. So check it out. As a matter of fact, that's the same in which that tried to debate Pastor Ray Higgins, as well as also throughout a challenge towards Baba Ashwa Kwesi. You know, of course, I'm putting together a website now in which that if you want to challenge somebody, you know, he can come and check me. And I will definitely tear the ass up. I will not be easy on him like I was on SETI, on Sorrow Sue and SETI. All right, so check that out. All right, so let's get into this information here with the current events. Of course, the big news is what went viral all over the internet, YouTube, everywhere, is the nearly 60-year-old man uppercutting the 25-year-old mother. Now, let's get into the different angles, because the first one in which that they put out, of course, you can't really see it too well, in which that she really did put her hands on him, you know. And there's another one that is out now, and you can actually see it real good from a person, it sounded like a guy who was actually on the right-hand side, who actually was shooting. Matter of fact, from his angle, you can actually see like about four or five people with cell phones. So we're going to probably end up seeing more angles of the scenario. But from the angle of the original one, you couldn't really see too well that she put her hands on him, but she did. And that was right before he uppercut her. You know, now that's the reason why he said if she want to be a man and act like a man, then going to give it to her basically like a man. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't condone hitting women. So the problem is that, you know, you got an elder who's 60 years old and you got her who's 25 years old, brash and, you know, and hoodie, you know, who's out there, you know, talking much shit. And so, I mean, that's in a dilemma as far as in the minds of people, you know, who is like, yo, come on, you don't hit women. But then again, on the other hand, yo, this dude is like 60 years old. Why are you provoking a 60-year-old, you know, elder? Why are you provoking this dude? You know, so there's a lot of things in which that, you know, when we look at it, you know, we had to analyze it. And with this new video in which that is out, in which that shows that angle, she definitely did touch him, even though she was asked by the newscast and the media. But I can't remember the lady's name. She was oriental looking. But she specifically asked her, did she touch him? And, of course, she said her lawyers, you know, according to her lawyer, she cannot speak on that, you know. And so, with this new information in which that comes out, it definitely shows her touching the 60-year-old. Matter of fact, she shoved him and pushed him. And so, therefore, that's when he got up and said, oh, you going to hell now? Not thinking, you know, we thinking that he probably was just going to do the Christian thing and just, you know, continue talking. But instead, he walked up on it and gave it the uppercut. So, obviously, his version of going to hell was actually sending her there physically, you know, or in pain. You know, so, I mean, that's the way in which that obviously that went. Of course, that's one of the most current event things in which that is going on. That's the big news. That's all over Facebook and all over the YouTube. You know, of course, you know, is that particular aspect. And now, when she went in court, probably not, because of the fact is that she touched him first. Because of how gruesome that hit was. You know, even she said it was like some Mortal Kombat, you know, finish move. She said that on the interview, that it was like a Mortal Kombat, you know, finish move to her. You know, it was very painful, and, you know, and of course, you know, it looked painful. I mean, you heard it. You heard the actual hit. I mean, so, I mean, that was definitely, you know, sad, you know, with that whole thing happening. But, you know, once again, you know, these things come to light, you know, and is actually put forth into the public in order to create a stir. And I don't think it's no coincidence that it's right around the time now in which that, you know, these debates are happening. Of course, the first debate, Obama lost, you know, in the minds of many people. And Mitt Romney, you know, won, as well as also Biden, however, won against Ryan. And now Obama, with the second debate, he did come off real good and won that one. So, you know, of course, Mitt Romney was repeating the same thing over and over again from what I've seen. So here we go, you know, looking at the debates and the coming up election of who is going to win. You know, based on the debate so far that we have seen, it will look and appear that And based on many astrologers also, I want to say this before we get into the election thing and the presidential election on the 4th. But we can also look at the fact that it has been stated by certain astrologers, metaphysicians, that particular, that the first debate, it was shown and looked, you know, as far as them going through the particular astrological alignments and card readings and different things like that, that Obama was going to lose that one, you know, based on those particular card readings and alignments of the stars and so forth and so on. However, that he was going to win the second debate. It's been promoted by many that this particular election that Obama actually is still going to win, and that actually is going to end up being a landslide. Now, we're going to see how that is, because I know here in North Carolina, I'm really not seeing any posters or any promotion or advertisement as far as for Obama. I'm seeing Mitt Romney everywhere, Mitt Romney and Ryan everywhere, you know, and that might just be a dilemma, you know, within North Carolina, because when we really look at the electoral college or collegiate vote, you're really looking at just a particular number of states, and those particular states are actually, how a person wins. You know, for example, when you're looking at the Electoral College, is an example of an indirect election. But that indirect election overpowers the popular votes. It did with Gore, Bush. I mean, the popular vote, you know, Gore won. The Electoral College vote, allegedly Bush won. Of course, we know that he used the 3/5 ruling on that, and we'll get into that in a second, you know. But the Electoral College is an example of, like we said, of an indirect election. Just about 538 electors who officially elect the president and the vice president of the United States. You know, now the number of electors is equal to the total votes members of the United States Congress, which is about 435 representatives and 100 senators. Plus 3 electors from the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. And that's based on Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the Constitution. The number of electors to be to which each state is entitled. And state legislators decide how they are chosen, you know. Now, that means that these particular states are the ones in which that controls the votes. All right? We'll get into the number of these particular, but the critics argue that the Electoral College is inherently undemocratic and gives swing states this disproportionate influence in electing the president and the vice president. And, of course, based on the Gore and the Bush election, that shows very clearly that it was. Now, these particular states would be, let's see here. We got the 3/5 compromise. Now, that's supposed to be Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, which speaks about 3/5 person. Of course, has been come, as far as historical wise, has been stated by so-called blacks or Moors as being actually reference to us as being or having 3/5 status, which of course, if we are referred to as 3/5 of a human, or that would be a subhuman or a monster or beast status, in that particular regard. Now, when you look up the 3/5 information or compromise, it goes into stating that it's not really talking about, you know, the so-called slave population in this. But this is what it says. It said 3/5 compromise was comprised between the southern and the northern states, reached during the Philadelphia Convention of 1787, in which that 3/5 of the population of slaves would be counted for representation purposes regarding both the distribution of taxes and the apportionment of members of the United States House of Representatives. All right, and it was proposed by delegates James Wilson and Roger Sherman. So delegates opposed to slavery generally wished to count only free inhabitants in each state. Delegates supportive of slavery, on the other hand, generally wanted to count slaves in their actual number. All right, so since slaves cannot vote, slaveholders would thus have the benefit of increasing representation in the House and the Electoral College. The final compromise of counting all persons, or only 3/5 of their actual number, reduced the power of the slave states relative to the original Southern proposal, but increased it over the Northern position. So the 3/5 compromise is found in Article 1, Section 2, as we said, or Paragraph 3 of the United States Constitution. So it says representatives created amongst the several states in which has been included within the Union, according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for a term of years, and excluding Indians not taxed, in 3/5 of all other persons. So, you know that the 3/5 rate, it originated with a 1783 amendment proposed to the Articles of Federation, and the amendment was to have changed the basis of determining the wealth of each state, and hence its tax obligation for real estate to population. So as you see, the slaves, now that's the Articles of Confederation. When you get to the Constitution for the United States of America, I'm talking about the real estate to population in regards to slaves. And as a measure of ability to promote wealth, the proposal by a committee of the Congress has suggested that taxes shall be supplied by several colonies in proportion to the numbers of inhabitants of every age, sex, and quality, except Indians not paying taxes. The South immediately objects to this formula, since it would increase slaves and would be viewed primarily as property in calculation the amount of tax to be paid. So as Thomas Jefferson wrote in his notes on the debate, the Southern states would be taxed according to their numbers and their wealth, conjunctly with the Northerns, would be taxed on numbers only. All right. So after the proposed compromise of half by Benjamin, 3/4 by several New Englanders failed to gain sufficient support, Congress finally settled on a 3/5 ratio proposed by James Madison. But this amendment ultimately fell two states short of unanimous approval required for amending the Articles of Confederation on new, and the two states were New Hampshire and New York, in which that opposed. So by the time that this left the Articles of Confederation, somehow it found its way once again, and this time it was passed as an actual article within the Constitution. So now that means that slaves were property, of course. We know it's called chattel property, real estate. All right? Now, when you look up the word chattel, is a nice little French word in which that means cattle. Now, you would have to speculate the reason why that a president of the United States every 25 years will have to vote or give you the right to vote and have to sign off on it. All right? You know that it was proposed in 1963 by John F. Kennedy or John F. Kennedy. It was passed in 1965 by Lyndon B. Johnson, and it was signed in 83, 84 by Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan, and then it was 25 years or so later, it was signed again by George W. Bush Jr. So, for over the last 50-some-odd years, we have been given as a privilege the right to vote. And it's not part of the Electoral College. It is part of the popular vote. And when in need, they can issue forth, just like George Bush did, the 3/5 compromise. Okay? So that's the science of what's really going on. Once again, if you were a citizen of the United States of America, you would not need a voting right bill or act. And we know that with a voting right bill, you know, being that it's a bill, that means due. I know when I get a bill in the mail, I know that something is due. The question is, for those who consider themselves Negro, Blacks, and Coloreds, what is it that you are due to pay or due to give to the United States of America, i.e. the corporation, the United States? And if you don't believe that it's a corporation, you might want to do some research and dig up and go to the Delaware Tax Administration and look up what the United States is actually according to their books. Delaware being the first state, it has the United States, which the United States is actually, I guess you can say, which was once the Virginia Company, has now been instated within the state of Delaware, in which that Delaware has as a corporation. And matter of fact, as a nonprofit corporation known as a Christian, corporation. So you can also see why the presidents here, especially within the last 20 some odd years or so, have been pushing this Christian thing, because that's what it has turned into and what has actually been stated within the books within within Delaware. So, go and do some research on the 3/5 compromise, and you will see everything which that we're talking about. And you will see how that information relates. Now, I know that, you know, all of us know, you know, want to see, you know, a lot of people want to see Obama get back in there because, you know, Mitt Romney, I mean, when you're looking at him, I mean, he's a Mormon. And whenever you look at the Mormon doctrine or dogma, you will find out that they consider blacks, you know, as, you know, chattel, beast, you know, cursed, etc. You know, but yet John Smith supposedly found these two golden tablets, you know, and these golden tablets supposed to bring information left by the original inhabitants here, in which day he refers to them as Indians. And so he don't speak about the Indians being cursed. In other words, the original or the aboriginal indigenous people who was here prior to the 400 years. He do not speak of them as being cursed. And a good reason for he came and invaded their land. As far as whom he considered African, they feel as if they have conquered the African. This is how they feel. This is really how they feel. Some research. Matter of fact, several books that you might want to check out is the Isis Papers, number one, by Francis Quesada, Dr. Francis Quesada. Racial, psychological personality, or psychopathic personality, Dr. Bobby E. Wright. There's several more. I'll get to them before we end tonight's discussion. Those two you definitely want to get. Now, we spoke about the fact before how the name America is derived from the name Morocco, El Morocco, and not from the Italian, of course, Amerigo Vespucci, or who was known as Alberto Vespucci. His name was actually Albert. He got the nickname Amerigo because he came here to the Americas, or El Morocco. So America is and was part of the dominion of the Moroccan Empire, which is ultimately of the Songhai Empire. You can see that in United States Code Title 22, Chapter 2, Section 141, which that supposedly was repealed August the 1st, 1956, by President Eisenhower. But when you read it, it says the notice was given to Morocco on October the 6th, 1956, and all pending cases was disposed of by 1960. And then you see the information, and it reads, related to judicial authority, generally of United States and China, Siam, Turkey, Morocco, Moscow, Abyssinia. Now, Abyssinia, now this is 1956, is still calling Ethiopia Abyssinia. But anyway, Persia and territories formerly part of the Ottoman Empire, including Egypt. So this verifies basically what is mentioned within the dominion of the Empire of Egypt, if you get the Holy Quran, Surah 7, in which that is spoken of, it speaks about in chapter 47 about the extent of the land, Africa into the Americas, specifically Mexico, before the Great Atlantic, before the Great Divide occurred. So this is verified to the extent of what is known as the Ottoman Empire. We also refer to before as the Songhai Empire or Songhai Malian Empire, in which there is the Kushite Empire. All of them, the same only thing they kept doing was changing the name over and over again in order to try to throw us off. So consequently, the Kingdom of Morocco in the East Africa or Northwest part was not allowed to fly the Moorish flag until 1956 after the independence from France. All right, and the five-pointed green star in the center of the field is red and is devoted to Moorish flag. This was the alleged cherry tree that General George Washington chopped down in 1774. All right, you can read The Moral Civics, Relationships, Concepts by Taj Tariq Bey. He has that in there. And of course, you know, you was talking about 9, George Washington told his father, I cannot tell a lie, I chopped down the cherry tree. You know, and that's what all that was about. Matter of fact, you get U.S.-Moroccan Relations by Robert G. Newman, the former United States ambassador to Morocco between 1973 and 1976. You can get that book. A lot of information is in there concerning what we're talking about. And so, the reason why I'm going through this is because I'm trying to show you, you know, in a sense that there's actually two governments, you know, and that's why the two seals on the back of the dollar bill. They got us participating in the de facto government. Republican, that's why they call it, with, of course, even the Constitution itself, it says the only form of government is a Republican form of government. But they always talk in democracy. And for democracy, in Latin, comes from the word demos, krati, which means ruled by demons, or ruled by the mob. A mob rules. Now, some other good information. For example, I'm going to give a good illustration of some things. You might never heard of the Geneva Convention, but in 1930, the so-called United States, Great Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, and Portugal all declared. And that all became part of here in the United States, part of the New Deal up under Delano Roosevelt. That became part of that new plan or that new deal, in which that the administrative states functions under the color of law of the United States of America. So that's the only way in which that they could have operated. 1965, with the voting right bill, is up under the disguise of color of law. So your voting right is under the color of law. That's why it says that actually these particular, of course we know that you have the Bilderbergers and, you know, the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, you know, all of them, you know, in particular the Bilderbergers, they choose or select who's the president within certain countries or within particular countries in which that they have control over. In the United States, no exception. All right? So, that take place. Verification of all of this is actually through the House Joint Resolution 192 of June 5th, 1918. All right? In which that shows that the United States is bankrupt and has been bankrupt. Now, if you get the book, Ancient Americans, one in volume two by David MacRitchie, he speaks about the fact that the United States used to pay tribute to the Moors. It is alleged that the Moors loaned the United States in 1861 $25 million in gold. It was that never been repaid. And this is the reason why the seal is on the as a token of remembrance. And it's a known fact that the European nations paid tribute to the Moors well up into the 19th century, according to David MacRitchie, also in his book, United States and the Barbary Powers. United States, England, France, the Dutch, the Danes, and the Swedes all paid tribute to the Moors. All right? So the Moors had control of the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. This is why the so-called United States Marine Song denotes the defeat of the Moors from the halls of Montezuma, which is Mexico, to the shores of Tripoli, which is Libya. That song confirms so the United States is not actually a nation nor a nationality. Remember, the United States is of America. But America is not of the United States. Neither one has a superior position. And if you look up the definition of United States, it says that the United States means a federal corporation, an agency, department, commission, board, or other entity of the United States, or instrumentality of the United States. And this is from the Cornell Law. And that's cfr.law.cornell.edu. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the United States of America being an incorporation or a non-profit Delaware corporation, which had incorporated on 4/19/1989 with the file number 293946 as a religious non-profit organization. This from www.state.de.us. So the United States of America is actually a religious corporation which is managed by the Queen of England and under the control of the Vatican. Ultimately, so the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral, the Council of Foreign Relations, all of that is under the control of the Queen of England and the United, and under the control of the Vatican. And being that it's a Christian or a religious nonprofit organization, the Pope laws are obligated on everyone. Anyone contracting with the United States or the United States of America or chattel property of the Vatican. If you go and do some research on the private corporation called the United States government, you will find that the owner is listed as being Archbishop Derek J. McLaurin of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception of Washington, D.C. And since archbishops of the Vatican are sworn to poverty, then the archbishop can only be named agent for the secular so-called Holy Roman Empire situated in the city state called the Vatican or Papal State. And it's so-called because it's not really the real Holy Roman Empire, which actually was ran by Moors. But that's another story. You can go and see Brother True Master's DVDs on that. But according to the elements of ecclesiastical law, the Pope can abolish any laws in the United States. Why? Because it's a religious corporation or a said Christian society now. And so this is actually who runs the government. This is why all presidents and prime ministers, when they go and see the Pope, they have to kiss his pinky ring and bow before him. And this is just the truth of the matter. All right, so when you look at this particular election, just keep these things in mind. As a matter of fact, there was an article in which that was written by Larry Chen. And you can get this information from off of Infowars.com, in which he speaks about the 2012 U.S. presidential non-election. In which he says that every 4 years, the deck chairs of the political Titanic, that is the American Empire, gets rearranged in the specula of another presidential election. The 2012 charade is particularly disgusting, and the lies more blatant as the world continues to burn. And he goes into that on one side, the Obama administration, and of neoliberal imperialism and international consensus enforce domestic populism. And then on the other side is Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, militant right-wing extremists in apocalyptic war agenda and the politics of sadism at home. And the interest of the elite, which is the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, of course, is dutifully served with either Obama or Romney in the White House. The question for the elite is purely over style and execution. Obama has had a servile facilitatory and protector of the political establishment, an insidious capitalist and consensus man for Wall Street billionaires, the Pentagon warmongers, and the Washington's most shamefulest corrupted. That they have no greater gift than Obama and his presidency. But with Romney and Ryan, the agenda simply speeds up and destruction and destroys faster, more violently, with true theocratic fervor. So basically what he's saying is that if you want the apocalypse or war agenda, then you vote for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, because they're going to speed it up and make sure that this thing is destroyed faster with more violence. All right. So I thought that was a very interesting article, you know, in that regard. So when you're talking about this particular information, you have to make sure that, do you really think that you are electing a president, or is he being selected for you? And this is what we're saying, is that he's being actually selected for you. Now, as we said before, the electoral collegiate vote is based on about 12 particular states, or 12 votes from out of actually about 18 particular states in a sense. In those particular states, there's several. Massachusetts is one in which that, of course, Mitt Romney is governor of. Interestingly. But there's 12 electoral votes changed between 18 states. And remember, it's based on the 2010 consensus. That's what it's based on. It's based on the consensus. And once again, if you are Negro, Black, and colored, the consensus is that you are three-fifths human, a three-fifth person. This is why they want to know how many people are in your household, so they can know how to count you. And there's no place on the consensus or in the voting registration for a more. Now, I've heard Moors say on several occasions that there is a way of voting in which that is based on the process of a true election and being able to register properly. We need morals who know this particular process in order to tell everyone how it can be done, because currently I'm not seeing it. What I am seeing is the manipulation of the masses who are still classified as 3/5 person being hauled off to the voting lines in order to cast votes, in which that is only good for the popular votes and not the electoral collegiate votes. Because in the collegiate or in the electoral collegiate vote, they're classified as only 3/5 person, not as a full person. In other words, there's some politics going on. And we got to figure this thing out. We can get a hold of what is really supposed to be taking place here on the ballots, or on the register, or the voting registration, or I should say, on do we write ourselves into history? Do we say that we are morals and we write ourselves into it? Because it, like I said, there is no space on there. There's only black African American. So that means that that is purposely done in order to make sure that we only count as 3/5 person. Still, in 2012. This is why when it came to the Gore and Bush vote, you had them actually hiding ballots in the state of Florida, which was one of the electoral collegiate states at the time. And Bush's brother, Jeb Bush, was governor then. So they said they was finding, weeks later, ballots hidden in attics and basements and people's homes and etc. But when we come back, you can go to the questions, the lines. So come on back. Call in. The number is 626-414-3535. That's 626-414-3535. Call in. And we're going to get into some questions and answers. Let's go to Lost Children of Babylon, Venus Project.
A better future, a redesign of our culture, the vision of a global expansion, of consciousness based upon the symbiotic relationships of nature and the caring capacity of the earth, like a dream of a highly advanced civilization where all the intelligent management of the earth resources become the common heritage for humanity. Behold a new world where the laws of man and religion will be erased and replaced with a resource-based economy through renewable, sustainable geothermal energy, solar and wind energy, harnessed by the power of the sun, generates electricity that brings stability to the earth environmentally. The adversity of scarcity will be about us socially when we realize that we are all one species under the sun. Instead of weapons of mass destruction, we unleash weapons of mass creation. You must elevate your mind to a higher state of spiritual awareness and be aware of the emergent and symbiotic aspects of natural law and understand the changes consistent within all of nature caused by the forces of nature.
Of human preservation, architectural elevation. We stand in veneration of the goddess Venus crossing as we plot this air voyage. Elite fleet launch with clairvoyance, inspired by ancient artifacts. Practice the latent artifacts, oblivious to how bleak the future seems. The youth stay geek, play meek, glued to computer screens with feudal dreams. This is groupthink versus global brain, divine intelligence, irrelevance, and social strain. The difference between generosity and charity in a world where clarity's a rarity. They stare at me atop the pyramidae, arms out, shouting namaste, with a soul that's lighter than the feather of my eye. Rest of the world screaming, look what I got. Serious, be free, leading exponent is me. All is one, one is all. Do what thou wilt, shall be the whole of the law. Innocence predicts the guilt created by the great fall. So which do you choose, pure life or more strife? The core of sacrifice, but two of them on the pace of price. Forget what they soothsay, the prophecy of doomsday was more like April Fool's Day. Not the end of the world, but the end of the age. Beware the wrath of the sage and do the math on the page.
To the phone lines, get area code 314. Area code 314, you on the air.
Oh.
Peace.
Peace. Brother Vidal. Yes, sir.
Peace, brother. How you doing?
Doing good, my boy. How's the boy doing down there?
I'm doing good, doing good.
All right, brother. Yeah, I've been kind of following closely to the campaign and the debates and all that.
Right, what you think about it?
What I think about it is that I'm studying research on how this country is ran and the corporation is ran and everything. I know it's a corporation out of England, or the British Crown of England, and
right.
also with the Vatican in control also.
Right.
I know that the decision has already been made who's going to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama's already got his blessings from the Bilderberg Group.
Right.
So it's a done deal.
Right.
And all these people, like you were saying earlier, that you saw a lot of signs through North Carolina, Mitt Romney, Rick Romney, you know, but what they don't know. And I'm really kind of amazed at how many, even among Europeans as well as non-conscious Asiatics, that they really don't know what the real game is.
Exactly.
You know, they think that their vote matters. They think, like you said, the collegia, the electoral vote is the one that actually counts because they're being told what to do.
Right.
They are told who to vote for and who not to vote for.
Right.
Like I said before, it's already a done deal. As far as Mitt Romney being a Mormon, a lot of people don't know what Mormon actually means.
Right.
And him being a Mormon also, well, the one thing they don't want to get him elected, because if he really means what he's saying, what he want to do, they don't want to have to kill him.
Right.
No, I don't know how this. That's maybe too strong for the station or not, but. Of a statement, but that's about the size of it.
Right. Well, let's get into that word Mormon, because, of course, the word more is the first part of it. And, of course, they was the original inhabitants known as the Indians, and that's who Joseph Smith patterned his organization religion organization after, was the tenets and the principles and the mystics, esoteric teachings of the real order of Melchizedek, which actually came from the indigenous people of the Americas, you know,
mm-hmm.
who was the Moors, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, hence more science. So, of course, you know, he was referring to, you know, those who come up under the labels, as we all do, up under the Negro, Black, and Colored labels, you know, which, of course, these are adjectives and law. Of course,
mm-hmm.
it's law, you know, not, don't get upset about the word Black, you know, we're talking about, you know, metaphysics, you know what I'm saying? But we talk right now as an aspect of law. You know,
mm-hmm.
law, you know, if you look at the word Black person in the Black's Law Dictionary, it says basically that is a name in which that basically has no significance whatsoever in the court of law.
It has no power, you know.
Right.
It means death.
Right.
You know, you're dead.
Right.
So what do dead people need with Medicare or any kind of benefits of whatever, you know.
Right. Well, that's what the word more, you can look up the word more too, if it's civilis mortus, which that means dead in the eyes of the law, within Latin. So if you take the word Black or even take the word more, they both, in a sense, have connections to the word dead, you know what I'm saying? And that's the whole point, is to raise yourself up from out of that dead, you know, horizontal state to a living perpendicular, 90-degree, you know, perpendicular state, you know. So these are the clues in which that is left for us within these particular so-called secret orders or secret societies. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is the reason why such people such as Prophet Noble Drew Ali and others came in order to give us some of these keys in which that they have within these particular orders, so that we can take it to the next level of consciousness, and because their information was stepping stones into our consciousness and our awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, had the Mormon Bible called the angel Moroni.
Right, exactly. The angel is called Moroni. Exactly. You know, so, I mean, there's so many clues about the word more, you know, embedded within these particular words, as well as also the many passages. If you look at the word land within the Black Star Dictionary, the word moors is embedded inside of the definition, which means that the word moors, when you take on the title word more, you become part of the land again. So you tie yourself instantly back to a nationality. Hence, you can never be stateless or landless, because anywhere that you move, actually, you can actually set claim to. And this is the key in the science, is being part of the original or Aboriginal people on the planet, the original inhabitants.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to one more talk. She was talking about she don't claim the title Moorish American. She claimed to be a Moroccan Akatan.
Right.
But I don't have a problem with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that. But I just prefer to be called Moorish or Moor,
right,
or Moorish American,
right?
Because the name that the prophet left us that, you know. And I try not to stray off of what the way the prophet taught.
Mm-hmm.
But do you consider yourself Moorish American or?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely a Moor. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
You know, and that's based on the definitions in which that is. You know, left within history, the keys left within history, the keys left within the law. You know, it shows forth. I mean, even when you look up the word Moor within the Black Star Dictionary, fourth edition, it says that a Moor is an officer of the land, of the Isles of Man, and that he's worth 100 bailiffs, hence sheriffs. So
right.
One Moor is worth 100 bailiffs or sheriffs.
Yeah.
You know? And that we summons the court for shredders. In other words, we summons the court in order to receive monies from the court, not vice versa, because a Moor, that's who they used to pay tribute to, was the Moors.
Because the name Bay goes back a little way deeper than what I thought it was.
Yeah, the word Bay goes to the word Bai, which is B-A-I, in which that was a name for Osiris or Osar. It's an ancient Kemetic name.
Hmm.
So it don't go back to Turkey. You know, that's what people want us to believe. That's certain books. If you go back and get the original, find out who's the original inhabitants of Turkey, you will find out in Sex and Race by J. Roger, Volume 1, that the original inhabitants of Turkey was Moors.
Okay.
And so the Moors were the guardians of the ancient Egyptian mysteries. So that's the information that we brought into those particular areas, as we did throughout the world. So the word Bay comes from the word Bai, B-A-I.
I did hear Ashwar Kwesi said that the Moors were the custodians of the ancient Kemetic mysteries.
Right, they are the custodians of the ancient Egyptian mysteries. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And he got that from Stolen Legacy by George G. James.
Okay.
I think it was page 34.
Okay.
So, I mean, that goes to show, you know, who we are. So we can call ourselves. And plus, when you look up the word Moor, you know, it's a noun. You know, unlike, you know, Negro, Black, and Colored, which are adjectives.
Right.
You know, which describes the things, but not necessarily is a person, place, or thing. So, I mean, that's the problem, you know. And I know people are so in love with saying that we Black, but, I mean, really, we didn't embrace that until, you know, the time of the Black Power movement, which was around the 1960s. Prior to that, we didn't call ourselves really Black in that regard. Everybody used the word Negro or color.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, 100 years ago, we was called Negro in 1900. You know what I'm saying? By 1930, because of W.E.B. Du Bois, we became colored. By 1960, because of the Black Power movement and the Black Panthers and so forth and so on, in particular Stokely Carmichael, we became Black. You know what I'm saying? By 1990, because of Jesse Jackson, we became African American.
Right.
So we can go and pinpoint the person who popularized these particular labels, you know what I'm saying, over the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
In which that our birth certificates are reflected with that information. When you look at the birth certificate, you can be called Black, your mother could be called Negro, your grandmother could be called colored.
Anything but more.
Right, and before that, Indian.
Like there's something.
Right. But yet, you come from the same bloodline. So how you got four different names, you know, labels, you know what I'm saying, for the same people within 100 years? How is that possible? And people just aren't thinking about it. You know what I'm saying?
Not.
Right. But when, you know, John Henry Clark brings up the issue of nationality. When Yahweh Ben Yahweh bring up the issue of nationality, when Malcolm X brings up the issue of nationality, you know what I'm saying? When Prophet Noble Jolly brings up the issue of nationality, when Marcus Garvey brings up the issue of nationality and nationhood, you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, it's not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you and I bring it up and we don't use them as sources, you know what I'm saying, in our information, then we looked at it as crazy. But
right.
If I show you videos of all of these people or books by all of these people and quotes from these people, you know what I'm saying, which that verifies what we're saying, then there's nothing in order to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
They get quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reevaluated for at the VA for update on my records. And
right.
They asked me what do I call myself?
Uh-huh.
I said Moorish American.
Right.
Nationality and race, Naga Asiatic.
Right.
Race. And they said I'm sorry, sir, there's no box or
exactly.
There's nothing there for that, you know.
No, there ain't nothing there for that.
Well, you can say you were African. I said, nope. You can say you're black. I said, nope.
Black.
But then she let it go, you know.
Right.
So I guess they didn't put nothing down there. So usually when I get a paper to fill out, I usually make a box.
Right. You make a box.
Either,
if they have other, then you put more.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, sometimes there's leeways out, but for some particular reason, on these particular forms, such as the voting on forms, a lot of them don't have areas for other, you know, they just have black and African American. So that means that they're purposely trying to categorize you and classify you as a second class citizen.
Right.
That they refer to as chattel property, you know, and three-fifth person. And,
right.
You know, that's not unfair, you know, when it comes to, you know, for those in which that want to be, you know, in full life, which means seen as five-fifth person or a whole person, a whole being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to tell some people that they really don't really know, realize why every 25 years a president signs the Civil Rights Bill. They don't know why.
Right, they don't know why.
And I tried to had a little debate with this brother. He was saying that they have ratified the 14th and 15th Amendment. I said, no, they have not.
Right. No, they haven't.
They've never properly ratified.
Right.
And he really believed they were.
Right. But the Constitution states that 2/3 of Congress must ratify it, in which that it was brought before 21 states. And out of the 21 states, more than 15 of those states denied it.
Right.
And the 14th Amendment was brought before them.
It did.
Then, right. And then it was never brought before any of the other states since. So that means you got 50 states. You only brought it before 21. So that means that you have 29 other states in which that you need to have gone to. 15 of those states denied it. You know, so why don't you take it back before the other states in order to see if they'll ratify it? It never was done. You know, so that means that it did not go in alignment or in balance with the Constitution itself, with 2/3 of the of Congress. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's a ploy,
mm-hmm.
And that is fraud on behalf of the government. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's because they was pushing so hard in order to make us citizens, you know, without asking us.
And see, the problem is it's not enough of us going out and saying that we are Moorish Americans or Asiatics.
Right.
It's not enough of us doing it. But then again, I don't know, lately, we have a growing number, though.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I mean, a lot of clues have been left, you know, like, for example, Hillary Clinton with the five-pointed star, you know, red background of the Moroccan flag behind her, you know, across from the United States flag as she was speaking. So, I mean, they leave in many clues as far as, you know, to the awakening, you know, if you just pay attention, you know. You know, so, I mean, people want to get mad because, you know, we are putting these clues together and we're trying to figure out, you know, how deep this rabbit hole goes. Don't get mad because I'm trying to, I'm going deeper into the hole. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we're in this predicament that we're in and how we can get out this predicament. What solutions can we have, you know, do we have? You know what I'm saying? When I was just walking around saying, you know, I'm black and I'm proud, you know, or just wearing my African medallion, I knew all the problems, but I didn't have the solution.
Right. No answer, no solution to the problem at all.
Right, right. It wasn't until I started studying law and civics that I began to start realizing, okay, here go the problems. I knew this for 20 years. All right, now let's find a solution for it. It wasn't until then that we started getting some solutions. Oh, okay, number one, you have to deny an affidavit that you're a three-fifth person and that the 14th Amendment was never ratified and that according to the Dred Scott case, you're not a U.S. citizen, nor will you ever be. And since the 14th Amendment was never fully ratified, then that means that the courts have and always have held up the fact that you are not a U.S. citizen, nor will you ever be, based on the Dred Scott case. That's why it's one of the first things taught in law school.
Mm-hmm.
And any lawyer would tell you that. They had to get taught, you know, about the Dred Scott case. In depth.
That's a clear example right there.
Right. Why do you have to learn that? You know, why is that necessary?
To know what time case, it is.
Right, that particular case, why is that even necessary? You know, and I got lawyer friends, and they all told me that they had to learn that information. They had to go through the Dred Scott case, and they never knew the relevance of it, and they still don't until they hear more speak about it, then it clicks for them.
What they think about it or what they think it was, he was just black. You know,
right.
He was a nigger, you know.
Right, right.
That's why they did him the way they did him.
Mm-hmm.
No, they never looked at it as like it as a status.
Right.
And it was status.
Right.
You know, you can't come up there talking about you Dred Scott. You know,
exactly.
You gonna claim, you know, your nationality and freedom, you know, no.
Right.
You just told him you was Mr. Scott's property.
Right. And Mr. Scott comes from Scotland.
There you
and
go.
And that's across the waters, over 3,000 miles away. And if you don't have anything in which that ties you to the land here in North America, then of course you are stateless.
Right.
And that's basically how they ruled.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in which that a black man has, in which that the white man is bound to respect.
And why should he?
Right.
No.
In other words, he was still looked at as an undesirable.
We won't respect it.
Bingo.
So, as Moors.
Right. Well, I mean, that was all a ploy in order to, you know, steal land, you know, have us, you know, categorized as all Africans and then looked across the water to just Africa as home. And then that left us stateless with no nationality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no birthright. You know, and so they was able to say, okay, well, this is the land, so go now westward, young man. And so the Lewis and Clark expedition began, and look who guided them was Ben York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through a lot of terrain. You know? So, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, things in which that we have to learn how to go more in depth with and find out these connection pieces within history, because what we're being told is reconstructed history. It's not true history.
No, it's not. No.
But hold on, Brother L. We're going to call in. We're going to get somebody else on the line here. We're going to go to area code 215. Area code 215, you're on the line.
Peace, Brother Alim Bey.
Greetings.
Peace.
All right. It was very interesting conversation taking place that I've been sitting here listening to and still learning a lot about the Moorish community.
Right.
I mainly called in to give my synopsis on, the two people in the bus incident.
Right. Please do.
In Ohio.
Yes.
What I'm noticing a lot in this community of, the brothers and some of the sisters too, who claim to be spiritually aware or awakened, is that, a lot of us, we want to place the blame on someone for this. I saw every last person on that bus. Let me first say that. I take SEPTA a lot of times, and, I've been told I have to pay more car fare for my children or whatever have you, and women have come out their pockets and say, here, take a token or whatever have you to help me get on the bus.
Right.
And,
me too. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Right. So I think the first issue was how the other passengers saw this as entertainment.
Right.
The second issue was the unprofessionalism of the bus driver.
Right.
And I wanted to talk more about that because I know I've been dealing with the public as far as work and occupation forever. Most of us have. And most of us are taught how to deal with the public or conflict resolution on a professional level. I don't know if anybody else heard the sister saying on the first video that came out that was on World Star Hip Hop.
Right.
The first video, the sister was like, call me another hoe and watch what happened.
Right.
And he was sitting there and he was like, I'll get my nieces, I got daughters your age, and they'll come down here and whoop your ass, excuse my French.
Right.
And she was like, get them, bring them. This turned from a professional standpoint, because I am a small business owner. If it had been me on the bus, if I was the driver, it would not have escalated to that point where as though I'm disrespecting a person because I don't want them on the bus. That's what the police is for.
Right.
If she's not going to pay her fare, I watched the interview. She said that she was heading to work. She had her money in her pocketbook. She couldn't find it. She asked the driver, could she, get a little time or whatever to get her money out. And the problem with the camera is no one ever starts taping until it gets hot and heavy.
Hey, that's exactly what happened.
And so everybody's sitting there like, okay, now how did they get to the point where though he's talking about how sliced up her face look and she's saying, call me another hoe and watch what happened. Like, what happened before
exactly.
You guys start videotaping?
Mm-hmm.
And still, a lot of people are saying, well, he shouldn't be fired. Why shouldn't he?
No, he has to be fired. And even after 22 years, that was definitely a good call by the Cleveland, Ohio bus company in order to do so. I don't know the results of if he got any, his pension or anything like that, being after 22 years of dedication. But that incident itself, that one time, definitely destroyed those 22 years in that regard, based on his unprofessionalism and based on him striking a woman. In which that he first said, like you say, I go get my daughter.
I'm
going to get the cops. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go get your daughter, you're going to go get the cops, then what, that's what I was saying about the second one in which that is out now. You see where she did push him.
Right.
On the one in which that came from World Star Hip Hop, you couldn't really see that. Right. You do see her arms, but you don't really see it. But on the angle of the new one, you know, because, I mean, and this is what I was saying, is that by that time, everybody had their cell phones out.
Right. Right.
You know, but I agree with you. You know, what happened prior to that? I mean, she, you know, what happened, you know, what led up, you know, because she didn't really get into it. Okay, you was getting ready to get your money out. He was going to let you do it. I mean, he wasn't going to let you do it. I mean, what happened?
Right. Now, I read one of the reports.
Mm-hmm.
He's still driving, but he's telling her she's going to get off at the next stop, and she's saying, let me get my money out. And then it goes into the mouse boxing. But from the passenger's point of view, they're making everyone see, even I've even heard on the radio a guy say, you know, these females out here today, they real mouthy, disrespectful, and my little sister is the same way towards my mom and grandmother, and I've had to handle her the same way.
Huh.
That's not your sister.
Wow.
To say that that woman behaves the same way your sister behaves towards your grandmother or mother.
Mm-hmm.
He turned a personal situation, you know, and just turned that story inside out, and now everybody is pretty much against the woman.
Right.
I say they're both in the wrong.
They both
wrong. You know, because I refuse to stand there and be insulted. I'd be like, you know, and have everybody on the bus laughing at me, because he had the bus laughing.
Yeah, he did.
If they looking all sliced up, I'll get my niece to come, I'll get my daughter to come whoop your behind.
Right.
You know, he had the entire bus laughing at her. And another thing, like, sometimes people hate to hear it, but it needs to be said. Black women go through this a lot. We go through it when we are out having, like, our little girls' night out at the club. You know, when we're walking down the street, you know, handling business or whatever, we get either sly comments from men, or we get that, you know, approach that isn't that undesirable approach from a man. It's no more, how you doing, sisters? You know, can I talk to you for a minute? It's more so, when you going to fix me dinner? Or when can I come over? Never even asked me my name.
Right.
You know, so, I've been seeing this change and this de-evolution in how black people are responding to each other, you know, right. In order to get into the mating season.
Right. I think it's more so the Willie Lynch, you know, speech influence in which that the woman would be, you know, turned into, quote unquote, a bitch and made into a cold individual, and in a sense, because of the trials and tribulations in which that she went through, and of course, in order to protect her son, she effeminized him, but the daughter, she makes independent.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think the change was, you know, with, you know, in particular, in the 80s, with the women going into corporate America at a large, at more of an increase,
yes,
the mentality of, mm-hmm. you know, saying that I don't need a man, you know,
yes,
I'm independent, I don't need a man. And then on the other regard, the man who, you know, who's going through the effeminization process, you know, if he hasn't turned into a homosexual or a bisexual, his mentality has been changed in order to fit that criteria that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that is part of that whole process of population control agenda, in which
mm-hmm.
that the Rockefellers and which the Rothschilds and others of the so-called top Illuminati families and, you know, and others, you know, who, you know, project that quote-unquote agenda, you know.
I remember, yeah. Now, I did mention that a couple of days ago concerning, you know, the brothers having to pretty much reclaim their masculinity on a daily basis because of the things that they go through. Like, I have four sons, you know.
Right.
I have four sons, and I pretty much hear, you know, their arguments as far as, like, the other boys that they have to deal with, and I'm telling them, listen to me, and let me help you prepare for what you really don't know is going to, you know, occur in the future. You know,
right.
Not giving them detail because I'm not sure. I'm not a man. I'm not going to pretend to know that every, you know, everything that a man goes through. But what I wanted to really say was, when it comes down to now, there are just way too many scenarios. I don't know if I would look at the Willie Lynch syndrome as being part of it. I look at our culture. Now, if you want to say Willie Lynch affecting the culture of our people, then
right.
I would probably understand
that
statement better.
Right. I'm just using that as an illustration. I mean, we can say the miseducation of the Negro. We can say there's many titles that are being come
okay.
up with that equates to the psychological trauma and drama, you know, of slavery or post-traumatic syndrome or mental slavery, you know, all of these particular tables, you know,
right.
Ma'afa, you know, the African Holocaust, whichever ones that we want to use is all projected, you know, within the mind and the genes because scientists have found out fear and hurt, you know, becomes embedded not just within your organs, you know, and then within your endocrine glands, but also within your genes. You know, so I'm talking about, you know, 400 years of the trials and tribulations, discrimination, the sex, you know, all of these things mount, you know, and the hurt in which that we feel. You know, I know as a child growing up in the 70s and 80s, I've seen, you know, the way that they treated them. The first person to, you know, get killed was always a black man.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
In a white movie. And shooting. Sometimes it still happens today in movies.
Yeah.
Sure do.
I just seen a couple of movies just recently, the last few months, when the first person to die was a black man. You know? So I mean, that to me is a sense of a ritual because when I have to see that, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so that's what I'm there for.
Mm-hmm.
You see, as a sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what I'm there for, as something in which that is trivial. My life don't mean anything. So, I mean, these are the things in which that is being embedded psychologically,
mm-hmm.
you know, through society, you know, that I had to grow up with, that I've seen, in which that other men who grew up around my, you know, during my same age, you know, between 25, 35, 45, you know, within that range. So we all see the same things, you know, as far as from movies and from TV, you know, shows, you know, showing and perpetuating those particular images. So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Is that particular. So, I mean, I can call it many different things, but I'm just talking about the perpetuation of that, you know, whatever it is. I don't know what we want to call it. You know, I think Francis Quest Welsin and Dr. Neely Fuller, you know, within their particular stance of popular areas of entertainment, you know, religion, education, politics, labor, law, sex,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of these things are controlled, you know, by establishment, which is based on white supremacy. In other words, we know white supremacy when we see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we feel white supremacy. We know it oozes, you know what I'm saying, from our mentality. You know, and that's what I'm talking about, it, you know, regardless of the label.
Well, I have a question, and I need a man's point of view because a sister had asked me earlier, a girlfriend of mine had asked me earlier, why are men nowadays, it was a two-part question,
mm-hmm.
why they don't want to marry black women, and
right.
the second part was why do they prevent black women from being themselves?
Let me answer the first one, the last one first. Why do black men prevent black women from being themselves? Because they don't know themselves and they hate themselves.
Mm.
And so that is a flaw within our character in which that needs to be fixed.
Right.
And
true.
That hatred is seen within children. If you get the Clark and Clark experiment of the 1920s with the Brown versus the Board of Education, in which that Thurgood Marshall was the lawyer,
mm-hmm.
as well as also the recent experiments, you know, of a young lady who took the children and they did the doll experiment, in which that they these children between the ages of 2 to 6, you know, had to choose. I think maybe even been older within her experiment, you know. But they had dolls. It was a white doll and a black doll, and the question was, you know, there was many questions, but one of the questions was, who do you think is prettiest, the white doll? Or who do you think is the smartest, the white doll? You know, which one do you want to be? Guess what? The white doll. So this hate is embedded in us that we are able to tell at the age of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And nobody told any of these children about racism. None of the children was told about white supremacy. Where did it come from at the age of 2? In other words, it's inbred within us.
It is.
I think it's more so television. I never even thought about a white person ever being. For one, because we're most of us are raised in secluded communities where though we don't really have that access. Now, I did witness, you know, in middle school the racism once I had to go to school in a predominantly white neighborhood and we had sundown laws. Then that's when I really, you know, I think the only thing that I really thought about white people as I was coming up was that majority of them were rich. That was from television. And, you know, being so I was raised as a Christian, too, I always thought that black people were supposed to have been poor, you know, so that we wouldn't have to worry about, you know, hellfire, you know, stuff right. like that. But as far as white people being smarter than me, I don't think that I never even thought about a white person being smarter or better, because truthfully, I've always seen them as serial killers and, you know, the way that the white women as whores. I've always seen, you know, Daisy Dukes came out after Daisy
right.
from, you know, that's where
right.
we got our style from.
Right.
And, you know, those mm-hmm. things I was open-minded to as a young girl. When we used to
right.
tie
right.
towels around our heads or shirts with turtlenecks and try and wear our hair long in the mirror, mimicking white girls or whatever, we were getting style from them. So as I got older, you know, and really started paying attention, I never saw them as being smarter. I think that the answers
right.
that these children were giving them were the answers that they wanted them to say. They thought that they wanted them to say.
But still, this is still an experiment in which that has been going on for nearly 100 years, and the results are the same. So, I mean, that's the only, and to me, it's not an any regard, the smartness, the or who you think is the smartest, or who you think is the prettiest, or who you think none of this is. I mean, there's a recent article, even in what was it, Jet Magazine, in which that was asking a question, or it was actually they did a statistics on black women think of being the most unattractive women.
They do, yeah.
And black women said, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah.
This is a major so-called black magazine.
Right, but this is because of a black woman, you know, that mentality in which they've all been crucified with this white supremacy of wanting to live in an image and after the likeness of something other than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the long hair, like you say, was because of the white girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that means we had to give her, instead of leaving our hair, non-ether form, in order to, you know, to receive the rays of the sun, you know. I mean, all of these things are still part of the same psychological damage in which that I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, so I want to answer the first question now. Tell me that one again, and we can go into that one.
Why don't black men want to marry black women?
Now, the majority of men that I know want to marry black women. I don't know any.
Including myself.
I don't know any men that I know personally, and I know hundreds of brothers.
Neither do I.
You know, and I've reclamated thousands of brothers And out of the thousands of brothers, do you know that only two had white women?
Oh, okay. Let me restate it. Why aren't black men marrying or getting married?
Okay. I think that's part of population control agenda once again. You know what I'm saying? We've been inundated with the fact that we don't make each other happy. You know what I'm saying? We've been inundated with the fact that the black man, he was once the provider, or supposedly been the provider. He no longer has those characteristics. You know, a lot of brothers now stay home with their mothers.
True.
A lot of brothers do not take care of their responsibilities, such as their children.
Nope.
So, and I'm saying, and this is in general terms, because I'm also surrounded by brothers who I'm talking about who do this. So, you know, those things are unattractive to a woman, to a black woman, or to a more. Those things are unattractive, you know, and, you know, so I think until the brothers pick themselves up and start, you know, fulfilling their manhood and start, you know, actually once again providing and going out there and doing what they need to do as far as taking care of their household, you know what I'm saying? I think there's always going to be a risk as far as the understanding and the factor. Because that's what it really is that they don't feel like they get the support from the sister. But that's because the sister's not seeing, you know, she might see the potential, but, you know, talking about the situation or talking about the problems isn't going to do. You have to get out there and do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what brothers have to realize. So I think that is the problem with, you know, with the gender right now or the so-called, you know, war between men and women. You know what I'm saying? I think that's part of the scenario.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to start doing more attractive things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the sisters, and the sisters have to start. Basically, as far as the man is concerned, what he's looking for is peace. So he don't want to, you know, have a lot of the nagging or a lot of the bashing of the male aspect. You know. If he's trying to do what he needs to do as a man. So, I mean, there's both areas here, and they're both, you know what I'm saying, like you said, with the older man, you know, who's nearly 60, and the young sister who's 25, you know, who got uppercut, you know, on this bus thing, it's the same dilemma, even within that particular matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he was trained properly as a child, you know, about women and respect of women, and so forth and so on, then he would have never done what he did.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
based on the environment in which that he grew up in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. It has to be based on the environment in which that he, because he just came, it just came too easy for him.
Yeah, it did.
He stepped right into it and gave it to him.
Yeah, that goes to show he done planned it a couple before.
Right, exactly. I mean, that was just too natural. You know what I'm saying? I mean, It was like me looking at a young Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one step right in and then that uppercut. And I was like, damn, that was too natural. And I never seen, you know, anything outside of boxing. So I knew that he had to have also had some boxing, you know, skills.
Yeah.
He had to have been trained. And that's what some of the reports have stated, that he actually back in the day was trained with boxing.
Right.
You know, so that right there, you know what I'm saying, shows that the economy once again, you know, so we have to be raised properly, and everything can take a village to raise a child. So I know back when I was young, you know, if I did something wrong, my mom whipped me, my grandmother whipped me, and my great grandma.
Mm-hmm.
I got it from everybody. You know what I'm saying? And I made sure that was to ensure that I wouldn't do whatever I did again. As a matter of fact, it knocked out what I did. I don't even remember what I did. That's how bad.
You had amnesia afterwards.
Exactly. So it made sure that I wouldn't even remember what the hell I did, so I won't do it again. Okay?
Yeah. I remember, look, I remember very little from my childhood. I think I was unconscious most of it.
There you go. You know what I'm talking about. So, you know, mama, grandma, great-grandma, none of them played. You know what I'm saying? And so I was raised by women, basically. You know, I had my uncle. You know, once in a while, you know, I go and see my dad. But basically, I was primarily raised by women. And so I had to learn respect, you know, from the women. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I carry that now, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, okay, I mean, to me, especially when I found out about the woman being first here upon planet Earth through Dr. Deborah Blair, you know what I'm saying? And then mm-hmm. I started doing my own research about, mm-hmm. you know, about man and woman and how man is degenerative woman in the sense that we have the same organs, but he don't have the ability in order to produce within his own womb. You know what I'm saying? Or bring, you know, a mold or shape or fashion within his own womb, which is his prostate gland. You know what I'm saying? But the woman still does, which is her womb or uterus. So, I mean, that within itself, you know, you got to give respect to the world of all living. You know, and so that's the way that we have to be raised. That Moses, that Adam and Eve story is the first, is one of the first things religiously in which that F hooks up, personally. Me, you know, to me personally, is that. Because it says that man was here first and woman came from man's rib. But it's not me. But the thing is that it's not talking about a physical man. It's talking about the mind. Even when you look at Webster Dictionary and it's talking about man, it's not gender. It's talking about he who thinks is based on the mind, the mental. And the mind was here prior to the structuring of the physical body. That's what it's talking about. Rib is deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA. Hence ribo, R-I-B-O-S-O-M-E, ribo, ribosome. It's the rib. You know, that's why it's called ribosome or deoxyribonucleic acid or ribonucleic acid. You know, all of that base is based on the science of that rib. That's the rib in which they're talking about. And when you look at the woman's double X chromosomes and then the man XY chromosome, and then you look at the, you know, the 2.8% of genetic material which that is missing from the man's Y chromosome, then you have to ask that question, who came from who?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, right. I mean, these are the things that when you start learning and you have to teach the man these sciences as a woman because the woman is the first teacher.
Right.
But
right.
if the woman don't know who she is, then she can't teach that boy child for he can have respect for the mother principal. So that's the reason how the woman got weeded out the process of father, son, and then she became a ghost, Holy Ghost.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Got, that's
correct.
How she weeded out the scenario and how society became a homosexual thing. Mm. You know, because that was the whole process of weeding her out in order to make society into this homosexual thing which that is going on, particularly now. And it keeps going on throughout various societies. I mean,
right.
Egypt fell because of homosexuality. Rome, Greece, and here America, they're all going to fall because of homosexuality because
right.
A nation can't survive without the reproduction.
Right.
But would you agree that if homosexuality is present, that it's the need for it to fall?
Yeah, in this regard, especially when it's being perverted openly and willfully and purposely, it has to fall. It's,
right.
That's right.
Now, homosexuality, right. I mean, a lot of the homosexual thing is based on curiosity and based on the things in which that we have grown up in society about. Almost every movie and every TV show has something about homosexuals, you know. I mean, I know when I was growing up, we had Bugs Bunny and him kissing Elmer Fudd and dressing up like a woman. You know,
wow.
You know, if you remember those cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but it was on a small scale. It wasn't an influence like it is now. When every
My
show
theory.
Come out, when almost every show is talking about sticking up something in your butt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
now, you know,
and you see this on. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
My theory on homosexual now, is just, I mean, you're touching on a lot of things here that I totally agree with you now about. But I believe now that it's not just the subliminal messages that it's an echo on my phone. It is also mothers not taking the time out to heal after those relationships and jumping from man to man. And not having children and not paying attention to the entity that they're bringing into their home. A lot of children have sexual tendencies because they were molested or raped as children too. So now, like the first stage, you pretty much named the first stage, which was the kiddie phase.
Right.
Now we're in the adult phase where you have grown men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretending to want you as a woman, and at night you can't even sleep tight because you got to keep one eye open. You know, it's getting to the point where women are realizing that they have to be less trustworthy of these men. They have to trust these men less than what they have done.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the
but you know what? I just finished doing a lecture this past weekend on the science of trust. And when you get into trust issues, you're dealing with the first chakra, which deals with fight or flight or survival.
Mm.
You know, at those particular levels, you know, you have trust issues. Now, that means that you have damage to the reproductive area. Because, like you said, child molestation, rape, and that's of men and women. You know, men get raped too. You know, I mean, that happens hundreds and thousands in prisons every day.
Right.
You know, children with the child molestation, they speak about the little girls getting molested, but boys get molested just as much.
Yeah.
Right. There you go.
So we. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're looking at
on my wall about the woman in Georgia who took a knife to that man who was a football coach who was sodomizing her son in their house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
wow.
You have some people that call themselves, me personally, I say off with the pedophile's head.
Right.
You know, it's no need to even, they cannot, studies have shown that through therapy and treatments or whatever European treatments they have for pedophiles, it does not work.
No,
and they still release them back into.
No, they never did.
Right. Let me explain. Let me explain the sexual nature and how to rectify that matter. What happens is that the energy within the body goes up the front of the body and down the back of the spine for the male, and that's what gives or promotes homosexual tendencies. Or perverted sexual energy. The energy has to go up the spine, over top of the head, and down the front of the body, back to the perineum, and back up. It has to go in that circular motion. What happens is that a person who, like you talked about, a person who is a pedophile or whatever, if they don't correct the energies within their own body, then anything outside of them, of course, cannot work. You know? Or anything which they are being programmed with by a psychologist or it cannot work because the energy has not been changed within the body. So this is where the importance of the microcosmic orbit and the different other tantra career techniques and things like that coming into effect, that in which that we have to be taught how to do. And how to be taught to our children, especially by the time that they come, you know, during the time of puberty when the energy is so strong within us.
Mm.
You know, the sexual energy is so strong during puberty, I know I almost damn busted.
Mm, right.
I mean, that's how strong, I mean, it's that massive. And if someone is not there in order to teach them how to rotate that energy properly within the body, then That's where the perversion comes in at.
True, because they won't have an outlet.
Right.
Mhm.
And they won't be taught properly, about these sciences. But we're gonna bring others in. We got an area, so stay on the line because we're gonna turn this into a panel discussion. 910. Area code 910. You on the line.
Peace.
910. Peace.
Peace. I was thinking about the question the sister asked.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. Wednesday, answer it. You got something to add on?
Yes, brother. Peace.
All right.
I remember the sister was saying about marriage, why brothers don't want to marry the sisters. And why the sisters don't want to marry the brothers? You know, it's two parts to that, you know. And
exactly.
And from what I'm seeing is that we don't have a culture. I heard the sister use the word culture, too, you know, but
I can't really hear him. His phone is echoing.
Right. Yes. What he's saying
real
is that he's saying that the reason why the marriage thing don't take place amongst us is because we don't have a developed culture.
Right, brother. See, we don't have a culture. The thing is that a lot of times when a man and a woman consider getting married, the imagination is created by the influence of what we're told marriage is supposed to be. When we look at marriage today, it's like you're going into a business. The woman is a business of herself, you know, what she's bringing. She doesn't have to bring anything but her body. So then we talk about love having been why we got married, but all the time it ends up with what love got to do with it. And then if the bills ain't being paid, and what have you done for me lately? And it's this type. So a lot of guys don't want to get into marriage because it seems
of the business side of marriage.
I'm sorry.
Are you saying because of the business side of marriage?
Because you see, we don't have a language to go on to separate us as a people, to make us one mind, one consciousness. I remember a time when people, if they got married, they kind of string around each other's wrists and they jumped over a stick. You know, and that was marriage. It wasn't a contract. It wasn't no paper. It wasn't. It was that. I knew you was a boy, and you just a big boy. And I know you was a girl, and you're just a big girl now. And you're somebody's daughter, and I'm somebody's son. And we're coming to. We're the same two people. We don't have no real funky mind. Where we don't have this mindset yesterday, because it's what made us today. Still, we're still dealing with it.
And that, you know, that was something I had heard up talking with a friend of mine. We don't do enough praising of one another. Even if it's a sister to sister or brother to brother or a man to woman, boy to girl. We don't do enough praising. We do too much complaining. Complaining has become a fashion and part of a lifestyle, this culture that we have, where it's like so easy to point out someone else's flaw because it's about classification or standards or status.
Right.
But we didn't set the standards. We didn't set the standards. We're just following, conforming. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And this, see, that's something that we as a people have to take seriously. Because if we don't stop playing, you know, our children, you know, a lot of us buy toys for our kids and we get them to play at young age. This is the time when we should be having a joy and appreciate business.
Right.
So that their joy will be in seriousness. Their joy is in respect. You see? You know, our joys don't have to be. Sometimes I cry and I'm so happy because of what I'm crying about. Sometimes I can talk, share some truth, and I'm happy because I know I'm speaking the truth. You know, all these boys and laughing and why you smiling today and all that, that's insanity. Or all it is. That's outside of yourself. You know what I'm saying? So and you know, you said women be themselves.
Oh yeah.
Now, like I said, without our culture, what is a yourself? We have to get away from ourself every day just to deal with people to work with, to keep your job, to deal with all these laws and regulations that seem to oppress us, restrict us. I mean, they say poverty creates perversion, perverts people, causes people to start creating, living in a false reality. Like a child only has one toy. Now this one toy could become 10 different things. But look at ourselves as the toy. We keep recreating ourselves out of some type of emotional self that's not really who we are. It's not really this, you know, because we're projecting. We're constantly projecting, but we're not being who we are. We're not being I care. Because we really care. But we're yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's so many things that's really us.
Mm-hmm.
As black people, I'm just talking about as black people, there's so many things that's really us, and we're not. We're everything else. You know, I asked my sister and a few women in my family, I said, hey, I know you'll say it's hard to find a good man. I said, well, what would you rather have, a good man or a thug? You know what the majority of them said? Well, I'd like to try a good man. But wait a minute. Do you know what you're saying when you say a good man? Or just an image that you are dealing with outside of yourself? So we're all outside of ourselves, but we have nothing at home. We have no culture. We don't have no language. We can't accept our own feelings because we come from poverty, and poverty has hurt us. And plus, we've been playing with toys, and we're playing silly games with children. Then we're under this thing of you're not an adult until you're 21. You're not this. You're safe. You know what I mean? That right there creates insanity.
because you know as a child you understood the problems of your parents, and you wish they would sit down and ask you. But then, we're also under the church stigma, not to knock Christianity. At this point in my comment, because I'm just saying. As I call it a church stigma, because as children in elementary school, we learn play not share. Lies are wrong. So you mean to tell me, as grown people, to reminisce and feel that feeling of adult telling us, don't lie, play nice. Share. We still trying to continue to go over that relearning that. We learned that in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So the church is not effective.
Right.
Except for deja vu. You want to reminisce on feeling. Somebody has to tell me to be nice. Play fair. Don't lie. We don't need to keep rehearsing that. What we need is to formulate a language. We're going to go to church. Let's create a language we speak among each other. Let's start teaching our children math, geometry, and church, agriculture, botany, so they can be empowered. Because if you don't know, if you never go to school to learn anything, you're useless. So if you go to church, learn something, be empowered, and you won't be useless.
Yeah. Now,
we're going to bring another caller in, 857, into the discussion. 857, you're on the line. Area code 857.
Put the phone down.
All right, they're not ready, so back to the bill, y'all.
You know what I want to add on? The sisters is having a hard time distinguishing what a gift stand over there to you. Go ahead.
Greetings, 857.
You know what my take is on this homosexuality thing?
What's that?
It's a lot of us, because I remember dying in my other life, and I remember where I went when I died, and I remember what I felt, and I remember waiting, and I remember the other spirits there, if you want to call them spirits, and I remember the time that it came where I was made known that I could come back. So I have a personal relationship with these concept of reincarnation. Mm-hmm. Now, some of these guys were women in the other life, and they had a mission in that other life. And when they, like me, when I had a mission in my other life, and I died right trying to save some people I love, but I was not away from school. And I left sad. Sadness waited away in the place I went. So anyway, you come back here, you're in a man or a woman's body, but in your other life you was opposite. And here you are. The spirit has come back seeking to fulfill this, whatever they didn't succeed in the other life. And it might be of the feminine gender, but also with poverty. Once again, things must reverse. We need to get a different value system. When people go to war, those soldiers over there, you think they're worrying about the new trend, the new fashion? You think you can get one of them to sell drugs to the next soldier? Not on the battlefield. He ain't even got a dollar in their pocket on the battlefield, but they are united in mind and purpose. It has nothing to do with how rich they are. We need to get away from this volume system that we have keeps us from being on the battlefield. There's no such thing as possible for us if we get away from everything that we on say is not positive.
Right. Well, let's look at marriage, because when we look at the word marriage, it actually comes from the word to merge, in which that actually in the sexual act itself or intimacy, that is a merger. So actually sex itself is marriage. So I agree, once you get away from those particular values of Europeans, you know, and start instituting common sense values of Africans, you know what I'm saying, or Moors, then you begin to start seeing the reality of it all. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So when a male and a female come together intimately, that is marriage. Now, do marriage constitute us paying $50 to the courthouse, you know what I'm saying, and a judge standing in front of us, or a pastor or preacher or reverend or whatever the case may be? You know, no, it doesn't. You know, this comes between the male and the female through their intimate moments and through the way that they feel about each other and the love that they emit, you know, to each other, you know, and what they receive from each other, you know. So, you know, our concept of marriage also has to change, but that comes with the development of a culture, mm-hmm. you know. For example, as indigenous people of all around the world, here in the United States particularly, we don't get married in front of a judge. You don't give him 50 or, you know, or how much money it is in order for him to sign off in order to say if I want to get married or not and make the state the third party. We don't do that. You know, we go to the register deeds or to the civil filing section of the clerk of court and get a clerk of court to sign off on our documentation and re-register it, you know, and that is on file. And therefore, it's a common law. You don't have nothing to do with the state. The state, right, is the marriage of hearts, of minds. It has nothing to do with the state and their influence and what happens, you know what I'm saying, outside of the two individuals who come together in order to produce a family and a life and provide a life for each other. And so we have to go back to that type of, you know, system. You know, as we begin to start developing a culture for ourselves and start, and basically the reason why our culture hasn't been developed is because we haven't come up with the way in order to develop it. And so now, based on us getting away more from the slave master interpretation of history and the reconstruction of history, now we are coming together in order to develop a culture that we can actually start and set as a precedent amongst our people.
Right.
And then we begin to start seeing a change in our people and start, you know, because we have instituted something in which that, as the brother said, becomes a guideline for all of our consciousness, you know, a set pattern such as a language, such as, you know, traditions and customs. You know, we will have all that. So this is a science and the truth to the things in which that we need to do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We was talking about sexual molestation.
Mm-hmm.
Us men and women, without a culture, without a proper culture, we'll be molesting one another every day. You know, we have to address this type of dress. We should be dressing like we should be dressed like monks in Iran or for that or the Catholics in them with the way they dress, because the thing is that we're constantly blaming each other all day on this question. And another thing is our sexuality. We're made to be ashamed that we desire a woman. And we got to put on all these other airs to kind of to go around that and then wind up. That's the only thing that we accomplish. And with the woman, she has a hide her sexuality and be ashamed of it. We need to get away from all of
them.
We need to get away from the woman's sexuality is for hire. The woman thinking that her there's a money value on her body. The man thinking that it's wrong to feel that I desire her. Feel that it's a shame. Let him know I desire him. It's shame. And we're putting our bodies right out.
And we're putting our bodies
out. We got on make believe clothes. Walking around here naked. It's like that story about the king. Who had to,
you know,
had to close.
Can I break in here for a minute if I lose my train of thought? There are, let's see, one, two, it was maybe two songs, and I think Chris Brown was one. Talking about don't judge me, or something like that. And what I'm saying is that they're perpetuating a behavior of both men and women. It surprised me, truthfully, that men feel as though they're being judged about their sexuality, when more so women are judged about their sexuality. One of the excuses that I hear from guys, you know, when they talk about women, that they don't want to be married, or, you know, they found out they've got more than three boyfriends. Or what was the other one?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the first
one. Let's go back to the first.
Having more than three boyfriends. You know, a woman being promiscuous.
You know, a woman.
But a man will be with you for two whole years or more. And still would say, you know, all right, I'm going to end this because it's not going to go to the next level. I don't see you
fit
for wife material.
Wife material.
And that to me is the double standard that women have to deal with a lot.
But she can control that. If she's not intimate with him, she can control that. If she's unhappy, then why accept it?
Right. She can control it. I think the point that I'm making is not so much as the control of how many partners she has. I'm not sure what you're saying. You want to go ahead and elaborate on your thoughts.
Well, you know, first of all, as children, play too much. And we grow up thinking we need to play. In order to play, get out yourself. Make something up. We're all in it to make something up so that we can get into that role and then say it's something. We're so lost from ourselves because of that. And you know, seriousness of being together is overlooked. By insanity. You know, why would a man want more than one woman? Why would a woman want more than one man? What is your agenda? You know, what is your agenda? You know what I'm saying? We are playing. We're caught up. And let's go to the circus. Let's go to the show. Let's go. You know, I mean, we make our lives show. We constantly into this entertainment because we can't be serious with ourselves. That's been stolen from childhood. We're not agenda minded. You know how many children that are so bright today that by the time they're 12, they could have turned a cell phone into something that starts a car and everything. But our children are not serious. Our parents are not serious.
Now, I agree with speaking about the maturity of the parents. I don't think that in a society where we are dependent on systems and policies to feed us, tell us how to dress, tell us how to think, that we could truly reach that maturity level that would actually constitute mature adults to even enter into a state of marriage unless they come out of that way of thinking. That's the conclusion I've come to. But like you said before, you know, child's play or how my mother would say it back in the day, child's play is the devil's workshop. And as you stated before, concerning, you know, hormones and what's the word I'm looking for? Adolescence, puberty.
Puberty.
Parents aren't properly teaching their children how to deal with these things. Most parents don't want to talk about it. They just want to say, you're not getting married until you're 35. That's what my dad said. You know, but he never said, you're not having sex. But in case you do have sex, this is what it should be. You know, or this is how you should look at this person. You know, in those terms, we're really marginal with things, and we don't look at the gray shade in between the black and white. So yeah, it takes maturity to actually form a system in your home. You know, where a man and woman.
Well, you know, in Haiti. Children foreclosed. I was talking to some missionaries. They were talking about over in Haiti, some of the houses, but the children are so poor, they don't have homes. And children that are 9 are taking care of the kids who are 5, 4, while the parents go out and try to find something to bring home. Them kids is not worrying about what they're going to have sex with. And believe me, they're serious. And life is real to them, and what they feel is real. And they love one another. He ain't looking at his naked neighbor, or girl, or boy, or family next door that don't have clothes or pants. They ain't thinking that. They're thinking, hey, look, when my parents get home with some food and your parents get home with some food, you know, we're going to all eat together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're not coming together. Seriously, you know what I mean? We're drawing from the outside instead of drawing from the inside. You know what I'm saying? We're not taking ourselves serious, you know?
Even when as a child, when I grew up, the first time a girl got naked in front of me, I did not know what to do.
My mind was not on that, and I lost a lot of girls because my mind wasn't on that. Coming up. Girls are curious about their bodies and stuff like that because they were led at a young age. Not that they had sex, but their parents was all messed up, you know. And, you know, they might have been adults or whatever, we don't know how serious life we live in is and how serious we are, even if we're not serious. We're very serious. It's the fact that you, who you are, is very serious. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If we go up in our churches and they start telling us how to name every tree and what's in them trees, we might walk up to one of them pine trees and make a foot on them at 11. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We might find some ways on how to take leaves and purify water. And these things to today's people are like, oh, that's so barbaric. That's so barbaric. That's so nowhere. No. That's serious. That's being a god. Not a person. Not a human being. Not a person trying to have a spiritual experience. Spiritual means having a godly experience. I haven't had friends who you can walk all over, you can treat them all kind of ways, but you know what? I treat them in a way where it won't happen on my watch.
I wish I could hear you better.
I was like, you know, I won't be the one taking advantage of it. And I had women.
You know the closest woman I ever kept to me was the one that was the easiest to go to bed with. You know why? Because it shows she had a shattered heart, not judging. She's being natural. She's not dealing with all that other judgmental stuff. And I said, well, look, if we could kick it with her, this easy, sharing, free-hearted person who ain't dealing with all these judgments, maybe I could sit down and open up a book with her.
Right.
See, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm saved for life.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I say, started out playing, I can't pop and play. And the more we got, we got a big head full of imagination. Yeah. Out. You know?
Yeah.
Men, women say, hey, how come men don't accept us for who we are? Well, I guess I open the closet, and you probably got a whole bunch of different outfits. And which one are you going to be today? But if you stand in front of me naked and say, hey, you can't accept me for who I am, I have to accept you and chill with that on.
I wish I could hear you. I didn't hear you too well. Could you repeat that?
I was saying that, you know, a lot of women I've heard say, you know, how come men don't accept them for who they are, you know. And I was saying, you know, I guess if you open up one of their closets, they have a whole bunch of different outfits. And, you know, you would ask them, which one, put on one of them outfits and then I'll deal, you know, let me deal with which one of them you going to be right now. But if you stand in front of me naked, I can only deal with who I see in front of me, and I'm only going to say, oh, for real. You ain't got a hat on, you ain't got a dress on, you ain't got nothing. You stand in front of me naked and say, can you deal with me? Not like, well, all I see is a naked woman. She's serious. You feel me? We gotta
I feel
deal
you, God.
Yeah.
I feel
so
you.
We gotta get,
you know,
we gotta,
I do want to say this, though. I do want to say this. I appreciate your wisdom. And then you're a Taurus, too, off of that. So when Taurus is built, I like to listen because y'all the first earth sign, you know. And what you're saying is true. I just want to say in broad spec, because we go and build with this family in Virginia, in Norfolk. When they talk, we listen because they fluent. In their home, they don't speak English. You know, and then also because of so many children, I'm assuming the brother's a Libra, October the 5th, and he has created games they call tribal, and it's playing with playing cards, some casino chips, and candy for days. I'm gonna be like, these days he eats some candy, but their minds is on point. You know, I was talking to one of the older teens, and you know, in this society where our children are going to shul or they don't want to come with you anymore. You know, they've outgrown that. They got plans. But these babies, they 17, sitting in the lectures, adding on. They eating with us around the table. They don't have no chips on their shoulders. You know, and the games that we play is called tribal. And you're helping the grandfather get medicine. You know, from the, you know.
Hello?
You know, these are the games these children are playing. I did want to say that this is happening. So the next generation is being influenced positively. You know, I just wanted to add on that. But everything you're saying, you're right. Playing too many games. And then, you know, asking people to compromise too much.
Her phone went out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. Are you still with us, Kadira? Wayne.
Arlene?